audiobook on the long-going UMA UFO contact case. Hear later in text also on how they discovered our Earth, and tell of their first days here, about their home planet, and so on. This reading material is original made of the French scientist, Jean-Pierre Petit, and some of the text may distinguish writings of a person not having English as mother tongue. Figures and numbers mentioned here in the text may be references to footnotes. Text may be followed on webpage galactic.no/rune/amota.html. Landing of the Amat vehicle at San Jose de Valderas, nearby Madrid, in 1967. The Spanish secretary that those Amats had hired had sent lots of letters to different persons since months, as one of his boss, called D-98, dictated him a letter about the arrival of three vessels on Earth. One of them should land near Madrid, some days later. The man posted the letter to several persons. Mr. Dot Sesma and now half a dozen people received this mail. The landing area was not indicated with precision for security reasons. The Amats just gave an approximation of the latitude and longitude and some time indications. Some contactees waited for the event at home. Some others, more enthusiastic, went on site with cameras, in case of a UFO sighting. None of them could take photos of the vessel, which landed anyway in the suburb of Madrid, in San Jose. Moreover, Valderas, as reported by the witness of this landing, the vehicles left large tracks on the floor which have been photographed. Figure 7. One of the traces left on the floor by the vessel, at San Jose, moreover Valderas, photographed by Rafael Farioles and Antonio Ribera. The press has been informed of this affair, which made the first page of all newspapers. 30 years later, the landing of San Jose de Valderas is still discussed, like all UFO cases are discussed. Let's say it was the landing of an unidentified object with traces on the floor. The feelings of the Amat's secretary. As he saw all this story, the secretary went into panic. Till now, he did not ask himself lots of questions about his employers. They were paying him very generously, and, in this time of unemployment, that was worth. But, having sent a letter announcing the arrival of a UFO, which really came scared him. With a terrible fear, he sent, without revealing his identity, a letter to all the people to whom he sent the reports of the previous months. This letter is quite amusing. The day before the landing of this cosmic vehicle, which would have simply picked up to members of the expedition, Sir D-98 and Miss U-2, to bring them back home, the Amats would have asked him to house them. What they would have accepted. The story is here flavorful. Half a dozen Amats would be arrived, at dawn. The wife of the secretary had prepared a meal that the visitors refused, says the letter. They would have slept on the floor on some sort of foam, deposited with a spray, which would have evaporated in the morning. The stenotypist and his wife would not have closed an eye during the whole night. Through the window of the lounge, the Amat, dumb like a fish, would have sent little balls which would have flown in the neighborhood's streets. Some monitoring devices, moving with MHD, would have explained one of the member of the group to their hosts. This landing affair also destabilized the group of the Happy Whale. Esotericism, yes, real flying saucers which land, this was no more acceptable at all. In the meantime, the group became larger. Beyond its member were now the engineer named Villagrasa and the writer and journalist Antonio Ribera. He was the perfect copy of Groucho Marx and had once written to the American actor, reproaching him to use his image to make money. Groucho, amused, answered him very kindly. One day when the radio announced that a saucer had landed at San Jose de Valderas, Rafael Farioles was in his car, not far from there with his wife Carmela. Naturally curious, he went on the site and found the engineer Villagrasa, completely disappointed with many cameras hanging on his neck. "I knew they would come." "You knew what?" asked Farioles. Villagrasa told him the whole story that Farioles found very amusing, so that he decided to join the group of the happy whale, which was very shocked. Raphael wanted to know more and Tri bought the documents owned by Sesma. As he was very rich, he was the director of a plexiglass factory in Barcelona. He was ready to give a big amount of money for this acquisition. But Sesma got rid of his whole documents for a ridiculous sum, as if they were burning his fingers, and ceased to show any interest for this Amo affair, preferring to limit his contacts with Martians and Venusians. Ribera gave a copy of all letters he personally received to a priest, the Father Guerrero, a fanatic esoterist. As the news of the landing came to the public, the religious man became completely mad and began to speak to all journalists he met. The newspapers said in this occasion, "An extraterrestrial colony is living in an underground cave, in the Sierra of Gredos, nearby Madrid. The Amits went into panic and left Spain immediately. If Father Guerrero would not have revealed everything, the whole story would have kept the confidentiality wanted by the authors of the letters till the beginning. The landing affair would have been one more case in the swamp of UFO cases." Believing the texts received by the Spanish several years later, the group of contactees in Spain would be a group beyond 10 others dispatched all over the world. They would be particularly some in France, Germany, Italy, Australia, Russia, Canada, Zimbabwe, Denmark, and of course the United States. The Amits would have asked all Theses contactees to be very discreet, or they would stop sending information, and their disciples would have obeyed their orders. The Spaniards received at the same period a letter from a Canadian contactees. "Why do you have chatted about all that? You perfectly know we have the instruction to keep quiet." But they give no names or addresses. The Amits say in the reports which came to the Spaniards long after the affair of San Jose, moreover Valderas, that they started a large disinformation, what we are used to now. One of their agents, or one of them, would have given to the press a camera film with very clear pictures of the vessel, flying in the suburb of a town, and which have been largely reproduced in the newspapers and in book related to UFOs. The group of Madrid and the group of Barcelona. The human behavior, facing such affair, is interesting, everyone finally, looking through with a different eye. For a man like Father Guerrero, reading these sheets produced a real mystic delirium. Sesma preferred to keep on with other dreams, less real and then less distressing. The Amits, after a moment of worry, asked themselves whether they would keep on or not the Spanish experiment. After many days, they found it to be a good way of studying how the public could react to some information about their existence and about the UFO problem in general. Contrarily to their worries, the affair went rapidly down and disappeared in the background noise of the ufologist. They began their mailings again. Beyond the addressees was now included Raphael Farriols, who would become the archivist of the case. This was an equilibrated man, with a solid sense of humor. Around him was constituted the group of Barcelona. In the members, a certain Barranchia, an old communist, and Farriol's secretary Hildred France, whose nickname was Lou. In Madrid were members of the First Hours, Jordan Pena, psychologist, the engineer Dominguez and the physician Orguia. The affair went slowly during years. The reports kept on coming and Raphael was archiving them very precociously. I had contact with the affair at this period. I became the friend of Ribera and Farriols. I met the others at different occasions. Pena was a strange and secret man. Dominguez, engineer and electronician, and Aguirre, physician, were believing to be elected. It looks like two clubs, distant geographically, which were meeting from time to time, to bring information in common. We will come back on the story of these nets afterward and on what happened to each of them. Who is at the origin of Amit's reports? I, Mr. Petty, am writing these lines in 1995. The first documents have been received in Spain in 1966. This affair lasts since 29 years. Personally, I paid some interest, and also took an active part in it, since 20 years. Who is hidden behind this fabulous story? A group of funny scientists? The intelligence services of some powerful country? Or really extraterrestrials in flesh and bones? Interesting question. Let's discuss the first hypothesis. The one of a crazy scientist, unique author of all these texts, is not credible, because the reports touch two different domains. Overall, the whole information is self-consistent. The different reports are connected one to the other. It seems to have a very strong underground logic. This means that an interdisciplinary group should have been constituted with several crazy scientists, very tenacious, to have kept on this experiment during so much time. With which goal? To be amused by some Spaniards, unable to understand a line of these texts? This makes no sense. On the other side, as these texts are scientifically very productive, I can't imagine some scientist making such gifts. The given indications, for instance in cosmology, were quite precise. They involved me in building an original model concerning the twin structure and the evolution of the universe, which is something. These scientific works are not inconsistent deliriums, whether I could not have published them in high-level reviews, which have the reputation to be very cautious. Their implications are important. We will come back on them later. We explain, beyond other things, the large structure of the universe and the origin of the spiral shape of galaxies. Our last work, see the appendix, identifies the matter of the twin universe to the cosmological antimatter. This building fits perfectly the informations presented in the SESMA book, in 1967. This antimatter is enantiomorphic and owns an opposite dimaro. A student in science could not have produced the keys concerning a new cosmological solution. In case of a funny scientist, he would have to build the solution, achieve the work, in a relatively precise way. Let me give you an analogy. The equation of general relativity is so complex, from a mathematical point of view, that it is impossible to give indications by just writing anything, by hazard. This is equivalent of give the first five numbers of a safe combinsum which would have seven numbers. If by manipulating the lock of the safe after many tries and efforts the door would open, this means that the one who gave the first five numbers knew the complete combinsum. If the author would have given them by hazard, the safe could not have been opened. If one or several scientists are at the origin of the key information, they would have already built the whole basic theory. Very complex. In this case, why haven't they published immediately this work? In the scientific world, people do not make such gift, of such an importance. This remark is also true for the hypothesis of a manipulation by some secret services. Some have given this explanation, involving the KGB, with the goal of destabilizing Spain and prepare the period after Franco. This is absurd for two reasons. The mailing of document continued after Franco's death. I have received my last letter a week ago. The falling down of USSR and the disorganization of the KGB, in 1990, did not slow down the arrival of document and the funny telephone calls. Some also pretend I am the author of these texts. Let me tell you at this point a funny story. Just after the publication of this book in France, where I decided to reveal the source of my works, a mathematician in Lyon wrote me these lines. Dear Sir, the president of the university gave me your book, saying it was fascinating most of his students. He asked me, as I know general relativity quite well, to make a severe critic of it. I then read the scientific appendix where your scientific publications are reproduced, and analyze them. I could not find any errors. These works are of great quality, and I want to congratulate you to have invented all this story about extraterrestrials to get the attention of people on this work. Best regards. This does not fit the hypothesis where I would have been the author of these texts. Effectively, they have been written in 1967, at a period when I was still a simple student. Mr. SESMA published most of them in a book the same year, under the title Amo, Otra planeta habitado, which means Amo, another inhabited planet. If this mathematician of Lion was right, I should have, as I was a simple student, to design all these key scientific informations in a book written in a language I do not speak, and to publish this work telling myself I will use that in 25 years, when I will be scientist. What remains? The hypothesis of an extraterrestrial origin, of course. I know this may sound vertiginous, but it is eventually the most logical one. Other aspects of the Amo affair. The Amo affair is not only a gathering of reports received by postage, or notes taken during calls. There exist Real's anecdotic facts. Raphael Fariol's owns, for instance, a magnetic tape of the voice of these persons. The affair goes back to the end of the 60s. One night, a man was driving on the road between Barcelona and Madrid. He was the signing clerk of the Rothschild Bank Institute. Suddenly, on the road's side, what did he saw? A saucer with some man beside it. Very helpful, he stopped, thinking maybe he has a breakdown in such peculiar situations. The head of people are often having very ridiculous thoughts. The man had a fully normal appearance, and was speaking in Spanish, pretending he was originated from Earth, and that his ancestors have been kidnapped on a planet far away. But, asked the banker, you never thought of escaping? Not at all. When I see what happens here, this does not incite me to come back. Both went their way. The Madridlanian went back home, driving normally, calmly, after having quitted the pilot of the saucer. At home, his wife was waiting for him. He told him the story. Suddenly he had terrible nervous shocking, and had a strong psychological breakdown, began to cry, as if he was living all this emotional charge afterwards. He spoke about his adventure around him. The press reported this affair, but this was a UFO story beyond lots of other. At this time, this type of happening were very usual on Earth. Some days after the diffusion of the news on radio, he got a phone call from a man with the voice of Donald Duck. The man questioned him on his adventure and said frankly, "We also are extraterrestrians, traveling on Earth, but we do not know this other ethnic group. We would like to meet you to discuss about that." They took an appointment. In between, the protagonist of this story had been in contact with the group of Madrid. They all said, "These are the Amits. This is their voices." The day of the appointment, the flat was full. All were handing a list of questions they wished to ask to the travelers of the planet Amo. Raphael Fariol's was also there. Good technician, he equipped by Hazard the phone with a mic connected to a tape. When you hear the tape they recorded this day, you can first hear the voice of the Spaniard, who tells his story with passion. Then the phone rings. He took the headphone, and said more slowly, "Here they are." Fariol's recorded then a monotonic voice, nasal, which says, "Que sus hermanos reunidos en su domicilio no formulan preguntas. Suplicamos don, señor, disconnecto la comunicación." Translation: the people joined in your flat should not ask any questions. Please excuse us, sir, I cut the communication. This sentence is repeated 3 times. Of course, any joker could have done that, pinching his nose. In the 70s, Antonio Ribera gave me a copy of the recording, and I let it analyzed in the laboratory for phonetics of my university, in Aix-en-Provence. From these short message has been made a sonogram. In the abscissa, horizontally, the time. Vertically the frequency. It is the way of analyzing voices or sounds, human parole or bird singing. The specialist in charge on this analysis told me, "This is not a human voice. Look at the frequencies, they are quite stable in time. We call it rectotono. The frequency spectrum is quite flexible, and a man can't keep stable frequencies when he pronounces vowels. Here, this constancy is very remarkable." The person who made these sounds has a relatively rigid pharynx. Or maybe it is a human voice transcoded by a vocoder. I don't think vocoder were existing at the time when this voice has been recorded. Let's add that the frequency spectrum was matching with the information given by the Ummets about their quite primitive phonation organ. The Ummo affair is full of such peculiar details, and I will tell about all of them in this book. Let's speak now about some other aspects. In one of the reports, the authors speak about a phone conversation they had with a certain Theodore T. Polk, in Pittsburgh. He asked him why they call our planet Oyaga, what they were translating planet of the square. Next, a part of their reports, devoted to this affair. We knew the existence of your planet by receiving a radio emission, in 1949, Earth time. We knew afterwards that it had been emitted during some short communication try from a trawler based at Bergen, in Norway. The message took 15 years before reaching Ummo, distant of 15 light years from Earth. It was emitted in 1934. By increasing the frequency of your radio emitters, the electromagnetic waves could then cross the gas layers of the Earth's atmosphere. On Ummo we have big antennas flying in orbit around our planet. The received message was short, few 10 seconds. Immediately, we admitted it was coming from intelligent beings, what surprised us a lot. As usually, life is not appearing around stars like your sun, with a gaseous envelope of a temperature of about 6,000 degrees. Our sunny Ummo is colder, 5,500 degrees only, and this is a general condition for all the inhabited planet we know. Immediately we decided to send a first mission in direction of your planetary system. We tried without success to decipher your message, which was the alternation of long and short signals. At the end, one of us suggested that you try to send us a theorem on the square. This is the reason why we call your planet the planet of the square, which has evidently no thing to do with the real content of the message, as we understood years later. But the name stayed. Reading these lines, I had the idea to localize Polk, in the United States. This was not so easy, but I succeeded, thanks to friend living in Chicago. He was no more living in Pittsburgh, but in a suburb called Export. I called him on the phone. "Hello, Mr. Polk?" Himself. "Mr. Theodore T. Polk? Yes, it's me. My call will surprise you, no doubts. I am a French scientist and I called you to ask you if you did not receive some phone calls, in the 60s, of people pretending to come from another planet? What a funny idea. Let's change the question. Have you received at this period calls from persons who had some difficulties to speak, with duck voices?" "No." This looked like a false trail. The author of the document may have chosen this name by hazard. There must be a lot of Polk in Pittsburgh, given the large number of people living there, who have Polish origins. I asked by hazard a last question. "Does the planet of the square has some meaning for you?" Polk lowered his voice and said, "Yes, but I prefer not to speak about that on the phone. I tried several times, through mails, to know more. But this was Polk who asked me questions, to which I answered. I told me simply that after this affair, he received lots of calls similar to mine, coming from different parts of the world, including Japan. As I wanted to know more on the phone, he slept away. I thought a lot of time about writing you a letter, but I think this could have dramatic implications. I could not know more. Polk, quite old, is dead today and took his secret with him. Maybe I fingered one of the members of the American net. Other anecdotes refers to news items. The Ummets says, for instance, that after living 2 years in their refuge near Din, they moved first toward Marseille, on the southern French coast, where I could not find their traces again, and went in different countries, Spain, Germany, and Australia. In each of these countries, they say to have built quite large underground refuges. The one of the Sierra Morrovegrados, in Spain, could, believing them, house 70 people, when the one of Din may receive only 6 and would measure 4 meters over height. Apparently, their headquarters would have been implanted in an underground base in Germany. They would have thought less dangerous to fade into the population of large towns than to multiply the number of in and outgoing from their underground bases. So, as they wanted to settle in Spain, they would just have hired a room in the house of a woman, Doña Margarita Ruiz Morovillieri, living in Albacete. This woman, who had been the mistress of Franco, was belonging to the Spanish high society. They have got her sympathy by curing some real diseases and other which were imaginaries, by presenting themselves as Sweden physicians. These Sweden would have then occupied, in her home, going out only night for security reasons. They would have arranged a laboratory in her cellar where they would have done biological experiments on animals. At the beginning they thought about opening a veterinary hospital. All that would have been perfect if the daughter of Doña Margarita had not done something they would not have foreseen and that had heavy consequences. She would have stolen the key of the room and would have inspected it during their absence. The Amits say that they were studying, at this time, some virus brought from their planet, which were not dangerous for the humans because they consider to be human beings, even if they are genetically incompatible with us. One the viral source brought from their planet would have become very aggressive to the human and the daughter of Doña Margarita would have contracted an infection. As she had plunged her arm in a tank and rubbed her eye, this infection would have damaged her hand and her ocular globe. The Amits would have been astounded by this unforeseen consequences. They would have been in different places that this young girl has frequented, could have localized the infected people and cure them with the help of pulsed ultrasounds, by making exploding on distance the envelopes of the viruses. But it would have been impossible to cure this way the young girl, whose state became very serious. The situation would have been so serious that the Amits living in Germany, and particularly the so-called YU-2, chief of the Earth Expeditionaries, would have converged toward Albacete to have a crisis meeting. The Amits would have estimated that to cure the young girl could in the end reveal their presence on Earth and would have decided to let her die. As doctors, they would have signed the permission to dispose of the body. Till this point, these facts are verified. The daughter of Doña Margarita deceased effectively in mysterious circumstances. The Amits then decided, prudently, to cut away the infected body parts, namely the hand and the eye. But someone noticed that the corpse had been mutilated and the police began to investigate. The Amits went away, and Doña Margarita was jailed and found guilty. The affair made a big noise in the Spanish town, as she was accused of having done some guilty practices on the body of her own daughter. She was finally disculpated, but died from sorrow some times later. At this time the boyfriend of Doña Margarita's daughter fell from a window and died. In the Amit's texts we learned that he would have entered the underground local and would have recuperated some devices there. The secret services of different countries, beyond these the CIA 19, were crawling in the region and would have taken contact with the young man. He would have uncarefully tried to sell them the devices. He would have been then assassinated. Secret services, CIA, murder, is all that just a gathering of news items divers, well exploited? In the 80s, we went to visit Rafael Farriols, in his splendid hacienda situated on a hill, near the town of Argentona, not far from Barcelona. He had accepted to let us photocopy 100 of pages, what we did. On the way back home, as I was driving, my friend Jean-Jacques Pastor, who was my interpreter in this affair although from Spanish origin, I am not speaking this language, read with avidity this new crop of information. Suddenly he had a surprise exclamation. Oh! Raphael forgot in this bundle of sheets a report coming from a private detective he would have paid to inquire on this affair of the cut hand of Albacete. So what? There are some letters following. Apparently, Raphael has not told him really on what he was inquiring. The man says to have investigated on site, the house of Doña Margarita already have been destructed. but he found many things by asking the neighborhood.